Osiris.
Hi, this is Mimi with Fruition, and the podcast you are listening to is part of the Osiris Network. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. Sign up for the newsletter at osirispod.com to stay in the loop.
Hi friends, welcome to the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is the quick hit from last night's show, which was October 16th, 2018, at the Times Union Center in Albany, New York. It was the tour opener for fall 2018. We've got a guest here. It's a surprise guest. I'm gonna keep you guys on the edge for a little bit. But I wanted to say a few things before we get into the show. And first is Couch Report is coming tonight with RJ and Tom and Dawn from the Female Centrics podcast from Osiris Network. They're going to be reviewing the shows up to this point and the tour up to this point. So please check them out via the YouTube page, the Relics YouTube page, or Osiris's YouTube or Facebook page as well. So check those things out. That's fun. Also got to mention that at Hampton this weekend, there'll be a live event with Tom and RJ and everyone else who wants to show up, along with Jonathan and Matt. Kind of a live podcast sort of deal. I think will be fun, and Hampton is always fun anyway, so might as well ramp the fun up while you're there if you get a chance. Check out the HF Pod or the Osiris Twitter feed for location and time and all those sorts of details. And finally, The lure winner last night was Old Fan, Old P-H-A-N Fan. He or she came up with the most correct guesses for last night's show. And as the guest Scott and I mentioned, he probably picked Army of One, which is it's something that neither he or I would have done. So and now on to our guest, the ever-present and famous, I think, at this point, Scott Marks. Scott, how are you, man?
I'm doing great.
Great. Thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're in between shows in Albany, and I'm glad you could join us for this quick hit. So
My pleasure. First,
we got to mention, I mean, tonight is your 300th show?
It is.
Wow. That's a big deal, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's really just a number, but it's still a landmark number, and it's kind of fun and a little extra excitement for tonight.
I mean, it's right. Age is just a number, as we're both turning 40 next year, as we mentioned offline. But 300 is a significant number, I think. So congrats on that. And
thank you.
And everyone that I know really appreciates your set list tweeting and all those things that you take very seriously. So thanks for that.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, so for your 300th show, we'll thank you for what you do. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
So let's talk about last night, your 299th show. What'd you think, just generally?
I thought it was a really strong opener. The first set, I had mentioned that there was a lot of funk that was being thrown about with MoMA Dance and Tube theme free and Everything's Right in Cities. So just kind of had like that kind of feel to it. And the second set I thought had a really good flow, and you can't go wrong with the Hood Encore. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah. What a great, I thought it was an outstanding first set, at least just on paper. It was good musically as well, but just on paper, they really, brought, the dancey grooves and the funky grooves, like you mentioned, out in the first set, opened with the MoMA, and the Tube was over 10 minutes, which is always significant in my opinion. A really strong start. How was the vibe in the crowd?
I think the vibe in the crowd was good. Whether you want to look at it as being coincidental or not, it's the band's first Northeast show after Curveball didn't happen, but it's also a tour opener and it's an indoor show. And I think, you know, people were just happy to have the band back in the Northeast, and the band really didn't disappoint.
Yeah. It was also the first time they'd been in Albany proper, the city, right? Since 2009. I mean, obviously they've been to, SPAC and those places, but, the Times Union Center was a staple back, you know, 2009 and previously, but it'd been a few years or 9 years, I guess, since they'd been there. So were there old faces or new faces, or I'm sure you recognize some people, but not a lot?
I mean, I'll always recognize a lot of people at shows, and I'm sure with every show you have a lot of new people that are getting introduced. It's every show is always going to be somebody's first show. Or 300th or whatever. So yeah, there are a lot of people that I recognized, and you know, a lot that I didn't. It would be the case for any show.
Good. So, and you've got family, or at least extended family, up in the area, so you got to see some family too.
Yeah, cool. I have a cousin who lives eight minutes away, and I have an old high school friend that I'm meeting up with tomorrow who lives in the area, so it's a chance to catch up with everybody around here.
It's a great part really about nice tour, right? Not only fish, but yeah, friends and family and all that stuff. So sweet.
Always try and add more to it than just the tour. It makes it so much more enjoyable.
Yes, yes. So let's talk a little bit more about you know, the Moomba Dance and Tube. I kind of mentioned the theme was pretty standard. Free, I didn't think deserves 5 stars, but maybe 4 stars. But the Army of One, I thought, was a wonderful bust out, and I was excited to hear. And RJ tweeted about it earlier today too. So. Anything from the first half of the first set that really stuck out to you?
The tube, obviously. The first thing I noticed was that it was a slower pace than I'm accustomed to. And so the just a more funkier theme to it, which I guess is like the keyword of that set. And I thought that the transition from theme into free loops was really good. Just kind of, they knew what they were doing. It was seamless, and it wasn't like a ripcord or anything like that.
It really was seamless. I thought listening back, it was, and next thing I knew, it was free. You know, it was almost like they sprung it on you, but they snuck it up. So
right. It's like it fit perfectly, but you weren't expecting it either.
Yep.
But you're like, oh, I can understand that it went there. So it worked really well. And Free was a little different, where they broke it down and had Mike and Trey facing each other with a little dual improvisation.
Awesome. I saw those picks. I didn't know what song it was, though. That's cool.
Yeah. And also, you had two Billy Breed songs in a row, which was the day after the album's 22nd anniversary. And I never know if the band is aware of these things or if we as over-analytical fans catch up on it, but it was just a nice nod to it.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And I just don't get, at least Trey, he doesn't seem to be on top of like the historical dates like that, but maybe Mike, right? So what about the Haleys? I thought with maybe I was anticipating a little bit longer Haleys, but that doesn't happen anymore. But the Everything's Right that followed was, I thought, nicely extended and well played. Did you get that?
The Haleys I liked the last minute especially, but I feel like I know at this point that they're not going to jam it out after that 1 minute. You always hope that they are, but they, for whatever reason, Trey decides that he wants to go to the next song and they don't jam it out like they did in the 90s. Everything's Right has been one of the pleasant surprises of 2018. It fits well in the first or second set, and they have a chance to open it up a little bit. And I definitely enjoyed it. I think the Camden version I saw earlier this year was fantastic. In the first set, and the transition into Cities is one of the best segues of the year.
Yeah, that's
so
a full-blown arrow,
right? If you haven't
heard
the show yet, I highly recommend checking it out.
Yeah.
All you listeners out there.
Yeah, that's I agree. Highlight of the first set to me were these two songs. I always like the debate of whether, you know, something gets a carrot or a full-blown arrow, you know, between songs. I think this one is no doubt a full-blown arrow. I think
Absolutely.
Even that theme into Free could be a full-blown arrow too, but that was just they seemed, we're not all the way done with the first set, but they seemed to be eager to play, I guess. I don't know if they were well practiced as we'd want, as you said, over analytical fans, but they seem to be eager at least. Did you get that or am I off?
I think they're always eager. I don't think there's ever a show where they come out, they're like, where they don't want to be there. And there were definitely some, you know, pockets of rust on a couple of tunes. But overall, I tend to overlook that and focus on the whole.
I like it. You're a glass is half full guy, huh?
Absolutely.
We all need to be, right? So, the cities and then the walls of a cave, finished out the first set. Walls was kind of standard, not to say it was bad.
Yeah, it seems like Walls has kind of been standard since they got back from the breakup. If you go back to 2.0, they had a bunch that were
right.
kind of jammed out and, you know, among the best versions of the song. But, I mean, even the ones that are standard are still special. You listen to the lyrics and it's just, it's a special song.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome set closer too, even if it is standard. So let's move on to the second set, the Ghost opener. I'll read the set list. Ghost, Into No Man's, and then Piper, 20 Years Later, Show of Life, 2001, and Character Zero to close the set with the Hood Encore, as you've mentioned. But right off the bat, what really stood out, if anything, from the second set to you, Scott?
The biggest thing that stood out for me was the 20 Years Later, where the last several minutes of the song kind of went into a dark, sinister jam, and I don't know if those are really the correct words, but you listen to stuff where Trey will have what I call like a high soaring improvisation with high uplifting notes, and this
right.
is just the exact opposite. Like Mike was really in control, and the lights, and it just
emo Mike.
It was interesting. It was dark, and it was almost like then you had a kind of happier, more thought provoking, uplifting song with Show of Life, and I felt that it fit perfectly into the set. The biggest thing I would have said to go listen to from that set would be the 20 Years Later. But I mean, there were obviously interesting things throughout the set.
To listen to. As Scotty B mentioned last night, maybe, or I don't know when I saw it in his Twitter, but he said that, is he really going to have to flip a desk to 20 Years Later, which I thought kind of summed it up pretty well. If you guys follow Scotty B, it's he only does that for special ones, and this is a special one for sure. Or special songs, not so much. Only 20 Years Later.
It's one of the best. It's not quite like the Reading one from 2013,
okay.
But it was definitely one of the more interesting ones they played as late.
Nice. They really busted out a lot of tunes in this second set, at least jam vehicles with Ghost and No Man's and 2001 and then the Hood Encore. I mean, did you any of those get an A+ to you, or was it just the 20 Years Later that stuck out?
I really enjoyed the 2001 as well. I thought Fishman kind of changed the beat around into moving away from the song structure a bit. I thought Character Zero was really well played. Sometimes the intro can be a bit rocky, but I thought last night they had rehearsed it and it was good. And the end of Ghost I enjoyed.
Sure.
I had recently just done a little bit of a research project where I had gone through and done a deep dive into some of the greatest moments in Albany history. And obviously with Ghost, you can look at 99 and 2009, but it's a song that they've played in 97 as well. And one of them, not thinking of, so is the fifth version, oh, 2000 as well.
Okay.
And it kind of picked up speed at the end before stripping down in quiet. You know, it's kind of hard to really get somewhere with only 11 minutes on that song. But it was still enjoyable.
Yeah.
The Piper was a little interesting, where I don't think I've ever heard Trey singing the lyrics of the song before Piper actually began, but it's like you're listening to the end of No Men in No Man's Land and he's just starting the lyrics and you're wondering, well, all right, is he quoting the song?
Right.
Are they going to go into Piper? And then
right. The
rest of the band kind of got on the same page and then there's your Piper.
Right.
I don't know if it was intentional or if there was a lack of communication. I don't really want to know. I enjoyed that it was a little different. And it kind of keeps you on your toes when things aren't necessarily, going by the norm.
Yeah. I don't know who said it, so I can't quote them, but, somebody mentioned on Twitter, like, you know, they like their Pipers to have the build, before the lyrics. And it's almost like he read that and did the exact opposite, which is something Trey would do. Right. So, I thought that was totally unique, but really cool to hear and to listen to. So, but overall, I think we can agree that it was a really solid opening night. You don't always get solid opening nights to tours, and you got no complaints, or do you?
I have no complaints. I was really happy with the song selection and the flow. I walked out of there thinking I had seen a good show, and it, as far as tour openers go, it was a really good one. So I'm excited for tonight and what else is in store for the rest of the tour. There's just a special vibe about them playing in the Northeast and side indoor arenas. So Albany's, I mean, you look back at the moments in Albany and there's just been stuff all over the place. It's 3 hours, 2.5 hours from Burlington. So it's almost like as close to a hometown show as they're going to get, unless
right.
they're playing in Vermont. So it's just, I would think it's special to the band and it's definitely special to the fans.
Yeah. And I got to mention, you said it, I have to agree with the indoor fall shows, you know, the outdoor shows in fall, like Chula Vista and that kind of stuff just don't, I mean, I love them and I'd always go to them, but they're just not fall tour shows if it's not indoors, you know. And there's also just the special vibe generally that's indoors for me. So
right.
I agree with you there. So just general questions. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but any...
Putting me on the spot here.
I'm putting you on the spot. Any hopes for any hopes for your 300th show?
I'll see how I do.
Yeah, if you have...
Lightning round.
Yeah, nothing hard, though. Any hopes that, or any anticipation or wants for your 300th show?
I think the generic response is to have the band come out and play a great show.
Right.
If I were to say, these are the songs I really want to hear that I'm either chasing or haven't seen in a long time, I missed it completely by a couple of shows, the two times they played it last year. And, I caught 11 of the 13 Baker's Dozen shows and kind of, fell in love with Powderfinger, a Neil Young song that I had not heard, beforehand. And now I've gone back and listened to, I think it's Rust Never Sleeps.
The live Rust
album. Enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I were to choose a song that I've heard before and haven't heard in a long time, it would probably be Shafty, which I caught back in 98. for the island tour, and then in 2000 in the middle of Maze and back into Maze in Burgettstown. For songs that I have a better chance of hearing, Mike's song is probably at the top of my list. It's been a favorite of mine since day one. But you know, I'm happy with whatever we get.
That's a good answer.
That's usually the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, band puts on a good show, they have a good time. I'm with people that are enjoying it. Yeah, that's all I really need. If I get lucky and get one of my, you know, long shot Hail Mary requests played, that's fantastic. But I'm happy either way.
Well, I'm sure they're listening, so I'm sure they'll heed to your requests. Now, the final question for the interview, though, Scott, is what is your all-time number one go-back-to jam that you've heard over the past 299 shows?
So this would be a show that I was actually at, correct?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I could narrow it down to one.
Okay, you can give us more than one.
With a question like that, it's really subjective, but I've always been a big fan of the 715-2000 Down With Disease into While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Oh, nice.
With the transition there, just kind of melts your brain or whatever. It's great. And then it got released in from the archives this year for Curveball, and so was very excited for that. And then another, also coincidentally, Down With Disease was from Dixon 2015, I think September 6th, where it just had a really fantastic jam that they took time to develop. You know, it's not the best version of the song, but it's probably one of my favorites. And then to hear that same theme kind of brought up No Man and No Man's Land at Merriweather this summer was special.
Awesome.
I mean, I'm sure I could sit down and find a bunch more highlights, but those are the two that immediately come to mind.
Well, I have to say I'm honored that I was at both of those shows, the one in Columbus from July of 2000, and then I definitely remember that the jam from Dix you're talking about. So it's great stuff, and it gives our listeners a little something to go to and check out as well before tonight's show. So again, thanks a lot, Scott, for taking the time at Biz
Absolutely,
Archive.
My pleasure.
I'm sure everyone who listens is already a follower, but if not, check out Scott's Twitter feed at Biz Archive, and he does wonderful work, and he's 98% of the time, even before From the Road, right, with your song calls. So it's exciting.
I don't know. I think that the people kind of compare who's tweeting out faster. They do a great service, and so do I. So there's
right.
not really any competition there.
No competition, and nothing you probably pay attention to, but it's fun to watch. Again, thanks a lot. Have fun tonight. 300 show. Exciting stuff, and hopefully we get to catch up later on the tour, if not in Vegas before then, maybe Hampton too. You said you'd be at Hampton, so if you get time, come by the HF Pod live show.
Yeah, I'd love
before
to.
Hampton.
You know, glad to speak about the tour at any point.
Yes. Yes.
So thanks for having me on this afternoon, and looking forward to catching up in person.
Yeah, have fun tonight, Scott. I appreciate it, and talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.